I just want to start in prayer. We can just bow our heads. Thank you, Father God, that you're so faithful, Lord. Lord, even when we are not faithful, Lord, and there's so many times where we are not faithful, you are faithful. You're amazing and you're awesome, Lord, and you blow our minds each day, Lord. And I pray this day, Lord, this very morning, that you're going to blow the minds and the hearts of every single person in this room, Lord. Father, we so often put you in a place in our mind or put you in a box or constrain you in our tiny little human minds. And I pray this morning, Lord, that even during the worship, Lord, something was shaken a little bit loose, Father. And today, Lord, as I share your word, Lord, your word that will never return void, Lord, as I share your word, that it is going to unlock secret places in people's hearts, secret places in people's minds, and secret places on their lips, Lord. I just thank you, Father, that we can just gather here, the privilege of gathering here each Sunday, Lord, just to worship you, to tell you how much we love you, Lord. And we do, Lord. We love you so much. We so much, Lord. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. And we prayed an intercession this morning that, Holy Spirit, you be the interpreter. I'm speaking your word from the throne of heaven, and I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be pleasing unto you. But Holy Spirit, you are the interpreter. You are the one that speaks to each one of us personally. I can say the same words, but you will interpret it different ways for different people because you know exactly where they are in their lives. So we thank you that we can glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. We tried an experiment a couple of weeks ago to start our services a few minutes late. Our services started at 9 o'clock, and we decided to give it 5 minutes, and the room would hopefully fill up. Then we decided to do it at 9:10, and people came still 5 or 10 minutes late. So we've gone back to the original. We're going to start at 9. If you're here, if you're here, fantastic. If you're late, you're still welcome. But we are going to start at 9. All right. Just because everyone's got plans for the day, and you know, people have got it. We've all got it in our minds. It's from 9 o'clock. So, but you're welcome to come a little bit late. We would prefer it if you came on time. But thank you for coming. I just want to reiterate two of the announcements that Kat's already spoken about. The first one is our Shofar band. They've really put a lot of hard work into their CD, and they've been going around to the different congregations over the last 6 months or so. And we have an actual honor and a privilege for them to come and visit us at our church next Sunday. So as Kat said, please, I challenge you, use this as an opportunity to invite that friend or that neighbor or someone that you've been meaning to invite to church, to say, come and listen to our band. We've got a CD, come and listen to the band. The other thing I want to mention from the announcements is the Shofar Conference. We've got speakers from all over the world coming, people from America, people from close by, Botswana, Malawi, it's people from the Congo. There's three pastors from the Congo that are coming. We've got people from Iraq, from Jordan, from Pakistan, from Nepal, from India. All these pastors and different preachers are coming. The 3 days of the conference is obviously going to be something incredible. I know it sounds like quite a lot of money, 350 rand, but there's a lot happening in those few days. The other thing why I'm mentioning it is somewhere in the Bible it says, if you receive a prophet in a prophet's name, you will receive the prophet's reward. And why I'm saying that is because we do need some offers of hosting some of these pastors. Kat and I are opening up our homes. We actually don't know who we're going to get. If you would like to open up your home and invite one of these prophets and receive a prophet's blessing and reward, please just give us your names, either at the info table or you can call us at the office. And just let us know that you'd like to. I would say it would be incredible to have one of these mighty men of God come and share a few days in your house. I promise you they will pray for you. They will change the way you look at the Lord. I'm sure of that. They are mighty men of God. Not to say that you aren't mighty men and women of God, but when people come from different cultures and different places, they come with different eyes and they see things that sometimes maybe you overlook. So please, if you are willing to host, please let us know. That's a shaking hand. As always, nervous to bring the message. And as always, I got tested heavily this week. So let's just dive straight into it. My message this morning is called The Most Powerful Weapon Known to Man. So what do you think is the most powerful weapon known to man? I'm sure everybody has an opinion here of what, and I'm not asking for a super spiritual answer. I'm asking you, what do you think the most powerful weapon known to man is? Yeah, we've got nuclear weapons, we've got a gun, we've got all sorts of things. But I believe if I asked all of you, we would come up with probably 15, 20 different answers. But the weapon I want to share about today is one that has been in existence since the beginning of time. It has been known to start wars. It has been known to end battles, to topple supremacy, to spark revolutions, and to leave people in complete ruin. It has killed more, ruined more reputations, broken more friendships, wrecked more homes, split more churches, driven more people out of ministry, and caused more hatred than any other weapon on this planet. Contrary to what the answers I heard, it is not the gun. It is not the hydrogen bomb. It is not the atomic bomb. It is not even some laser-guided missile or something. You know, they have those Star Wars things up in the sky where they laser beam things on. It's not even one of those. It's not even the weapon of a biological weapon of mass destruction. It's none of these things. The weapon is as concealed as a sniper. You know what a sniper is? It's as concealed as a sniper, as quick as a bullet, and as deadly as a gun. The most powerful weapon in the world is only about 10 centimeters long. It lives in a type of dark cage, in a pool of saliva, behind the ivory bars of your teeth. Yes, my brothers and sisters, it is the tongue. Your tongue, my tongue, our tongues. Leonardo da Vinci, he studied human anatomy quite extensively, and he commented that the tongue could and would take more shapes than any other muscle in the entire body. Now, it certainly is an interesting muscle. And medically, the tongue is approximately 100 grams of muscle, membrane, and nerves. It allows us to chew, to swallow, to speak, and to taste. Now, in the book of James, there's more written about the tongue than the whole Bible put together. It's an incredible book, the book of James. But before we go into the book of James, I want to share something I shared very short. I shared a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching at the evening service. So if you've heard it, you're going to hear it again. It's just a little short thing. There's two things, two difficulties when you study Scripture. First, there is the mental difficulty where you cannot understand what you are reading. So when you study Scripture, there's two difficulties. The first one is mental difficulty. You're reading it, but you don't understand what you're reading. The second one is a moral difficulty. So you understand what you've read, but you cannot understand how to apply that in your life because it is a difficult principle to follow. Now, the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, he gives us more moral difficulties than I believe any other book in the Bible. The reason for this is James' book is very hectic. It's a very, very hectic book. The reason why it's hectic is because once you've read it, you cannot plead ignorance. It's one of the easiest books in the read in the Bible to understand, but one of the hardest to undertake. Now, unlike Paul's letters, which were very theological, James's letter is very practical. It's very, very practical and focuses on practical aspects for the Christian life. Now consider that James only wrote 5 chapters, and he dedicated half of chapter 3 to the tongue. He must have thought it was of great importance. Now, we can speculate and think maybe James could recall his own idle words when he teased Jesus. Do you remember that? John chapter 7, you can go and look at that at home. James actually teased Jesus. Maybe he was thinking that when he was writing about the tongue. But the other reason why I think James was so focused on the tongue for half a chapter in chapter 3 is that, as I said, he's a very practical book. A very practical book. And probably the easiest way for us to sin, the easiest way for us to disobey God, the easiest way to come off our spiritual walk is with our words and what we say. Think about it. It takes very little effort to sin with your tongue. It takes no effort at all. You can open your mouth. You can throw a verbal dart. You can curse someone out. You can swear. You can use the Lord's name in vain. You can lie. You can dishonor your parents. You can drop a verbal bomb. And you can do this anywhere, anytime, without even breaking a sweat. So now this is why I believe James focuses so much on the tongue. Now I'm sure a lot of you have heard this English idiom which says, and it's, I don't think I put it up on the screen, I didn't. It says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Who's heard that? Yeah, a lot of us. It's an old English kind of idiom, proverb type thing. Now, I don't know who wrote that. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. I don't know who wrote that, but whoever wrote that must have either been hearing impaired or mentally challenged, or actually maybe both. Because I'm telling you today that words hurt, words wound, words cut, and words cut deep. So I want you to understand the incredible power of the tongue. Now, as a matter of fact, the New King James version of the Bible in Proverbs 18:21, and that is up on the screen. I put 2 versions of the same scripture. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The NLT puts it differently, but just as effectively. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. The thing is, we all use words. Every single one of us use words every day to communicate different things. Now, we are told by the people who count such things that if we speak enough words in 1 year to fill 66 books with 800 pages. Now, when I heard that figure, I was like, well, what's the size of the book and how many words are on that page? That's how my brain thinks. So I looked a little bit deeper, and to basically give you a more realistic, it says the average man speaks 20,000 words a day, and the average woman speaks 30,000 words a day. So women speak 50% more than men. That's not a shock to me. Okay. So those 66 books that we speak every year, they contain good words and bad words, words that hurt and words that heal. But listen to what James says in chapter 1:26. Listen carefully to what he says. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Whew. Do you know what James is trying to say here? I'll tell you what James is trying to say here. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. That's what James is trying to say. James goes on in chapter 3. This is his tongue chapter now. He goes on to say this, and my brothers and sisters, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, because this is what you need to take out the door today. And I'm going to harp on it a little bit. Real faith. Real faith uses words in the worship of God and the building up and well-being of other people. That's what real faith is. Real faith goes to say, I've got this powerful weapon in my mouth, this powerful weapon that God's given me, and I'm going to use it, and I want to use it in a way that will praise and honor God, in a way that will uplift people, encourage people, and for the well-being of other people. Now, I don't want you to leave this morning and think, all right, maybe I should just shut my mouth and not say anything. That's not what I'm saying. God wants to use your hands and your feet. He wants to use your finances. He wants to use your eyes and your ears. And He wants to use your tongue in a warm, encouraging, wise way. Now the question is, how do we control our tongues? How do we control our tongues? What is the secret to doing this? Now there are three things that I'm going to highlight from James's third chapter. And I'm going to bring them across in the best possible way I can. The first one, number one, of how to control your tongues, the secret of controlling your tongue, is number one, understand the dynamic power of the tongue. James 3:5 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but makes a great boast. What's really amazing is how small the tongue is. As I said, 10 centimeters long, maybe some people a little bit longer. But it's small. I'm not even going to go there, Derek. It's small. Put it this way. It's smaller than your fist. Your fist can punch. It's smaller than your fist. It's smaller than your arm. It's smaller than your foot. It's smaller than your leg. It's smaller than your chest. But it is such a powerful weapon. It comes in a small package, but it can change the course of destiny. Your tongue can change the course of destiny. Have you ever considered how just one or two words can change a person's life forever? Let me give you an example. I'll illustrate this. You're seated at a table. Seated at a table. Next to you is a professional person. Next minute, the door opens. In walks 12 people into the room. It's a courtroom. They take their seats some 5 meters away. One man steps forward. He reads something off a piece of paper. And he turns around, points a finger at you, and he says one word. Guilty. That one word has just changed your life forever. Just separates you from your family. Takes away your freedom. Cuts you from the outside world. It ruins your reputation forever. And depending on where you tried, may have even been that word that sentences you to death. Just one word. Guilty. Well, think of two words. I do. Enslaved forever. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I've got the most wonderful wife, and really, seriously, I've been very blessed. No, seriously, marriage is amazing. It's not slavery. But we went to a wedding last weekend, Olivia and Kobus, and they said, I do. And those two words, I do, have changed their future from last weekend, will never, ever be the same again. They committed to each other. They cannot date other people anymore. What they've done is they've determined what their children will look like. By saying I do, they've determined what their grandchildren will look like. Amazing power of the words. we are a product of what we say. Now, what we say affects every area of our life. And neurologists, people who study the brain, they tell us that the speech center rules over every other nerve. So suppose you say, I feel sick, or I'm getting old, or I give up. Your body responds to what the tongue says. That is powerful. But be very careful with this power, because it can be used for good and for bad. Now, if you say something like, you loser, you will never amount to anything in your entire life. If you speak that over your children, it will have a very different effect to if you say, my precious darling, you're such a genius. You're going to change the world. Words, very powerful. James 3:1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. God gave us this tongue to teach the truth. And God is going to hold us accountable for what we teach. My job at this pulpit is to teach you God's truth. Not my opinion, not what I think God is saying, or not what I think God should be saying, but what God is actually saying. And you know what God is saying to me? He says, Yanni, I'm going to hold you accountable for every single word that you speak from this pulpit. Now, many of you think, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm off the hook. If you are a parent, you are a teacher. If you are a grandparent, you are a teacher. If you homeschool, you are a teacher. If you disciple anybody, you are a teacher. If you teach in our Shofar Bible School, or if you teach any one of our Shofar Spiritual Foundation courses, you are a teacher. You have the same responsibility and the same accountability that I have standing up here. James goes on to say in verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. James is saying, if you can control your tongue, you can control your life. Speech control leads to self-control. I'll say that again. Speech control leads to self-control. Make sure that every time you open your mouth, only the truth comes out, because words have a dynamic power. Check this out for the dynamic power of God's word. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He spoke the universe into being. That is the power of God's word. So that's the first step that I wanted to share with you today, is understanding the dynamic power in the tongue. Step number 2, protect others from your tongue. James 3, verses 3 to 4 reads as follows. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Again, James writes perfectly clearly. I don't think anybody needs an explanation of that. He uses everyday analogy, very strong images to get his point across. So just like the tiny metal bit in a horse's mouth can move a 2-ton animal, can stop it, can turn it left, can turn it right. And just like the small rudder on a massive ship, you look at these massive cargo ships, hundreds of tons, maybe thousands of tons with the cargo on it. But there's a small rudder in comparison to the size, a fraction of the proportion of the ship. But that rudder controls the direction of that massive ship. Likewise, verse 5, the tongue is a small part of the body, but makes great boasts. Then James compares the tongue to a fire. Verses 5 and 6. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Your tongue is like a spark. Sometimes a premeditated arsonist, sometimes an accidental fire starter. Which reminds me of a story which shows the power of a small spark or a small fire. I'm going to read it to you. On October the 8th, 1871, in a barn in Chicago, a cow by the name of Mrs. O'Leary accidentally kicked over a lantern. The lantern fell into some hay. The hay caught on fire, and from that, the fire spread. And when the fire was over, more than 100,000 people were left homeless. 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died. And it cost the city over $400 million just because of one spark. There's a reason why James says that our tongue is like a fire. It's because you can burn people with your words. You know, there's some married people in this room, and maybe some married people who listen to these sermons. It's incredible how far across the globe these sermons go. So wherever you're listening, hello. But there are some people listening, and there's some people in this room who are married, but the intimacy is gone. The trust has been completely destroyed. They don't have much of a relationship at home because you've been burnt. Maybe he said something, or she said something, or more likely, you both said something, and now your relationship resembles burnt coals. We have all been guilty of verbal flame throwing. I have, you have, we all have. Every time you open your mouth, you have the ability and the power to burn down a friendship. You have the ability to scorch a relationship. You have the ability to blaze someone completely out of your life by the words that you speak. James continues in verses 7 to 8, driving this point home with another metaphor. This is how it reads. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now James compares the tongue to poison. Your mouth is toxic. You can poison someone's reputation. James also compares our tongues to wild animals, which can attack and feed off one another. If we do not tame our tongues, we can devour those around us. Now, have you ever thought about this, the term backbiting? You know what backbiting means? I think it comes from here. You know, if you imagine how an animal kills another animal, they run up or jump on it, and they either bite them at the back of the neck or on the throat. And I believe that that backbiting is a good term for exactly what we do with our words. The same way as a wild animal attacks another animal, we need to tame our tongues. You know, we need to tame animals not to bite us. We need to tame our own tongues. But we bite all the time. You know, sometimes it's on purpose. Sometimes it's not. How many times have you said something to someone and wounded them all the way through? I hope you can see what James is trying to tell us this morning. You know, your tongue is a fire. Your tongue is a poison. And your tongue can be like the sharp tooth of an animal. We must be very careful of what we say, where we say it, when we say it, and how we say it. You know, to illustrate that, I come home after a long day of work. And I could scream or shout using tone. I could say, "Woman, where's my food?" Okay? Asking for something to eat. Or I can come in and say, "My darling, I've had a really rough day. It's been like a hectic day for me. Won't you prepare me a meal?" So asking for the same thing, but said in two different ways. So, we need to protect others from our tongue. First of all, was understanding the dynamic power of the tongue. Got it up here. Understand the dynamic power of the tongue. Protect others from your tongue. And number three, praise God with your words. James 3, 9 to 12 says the following. Not shaking so much now. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. James is getting real personal here. He's talking about cursing. He's talking about gossiping. He's talking about cutting down others, soiling their reputations, talking behind their backs, even grumbling against the church and leadership. Reminds me of a story in the Old Testament, and I know you know it well. The nation of Israel were grumblers. And because they grumbled, the Lord made them stumble around the desert for an entire generation of 40 years. You can read that story in Numbers 14, but I'm just going to read out 26 to 27. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I've heard their complaints of these grumbling Israelites." Now, David Pawson is a writer and comments on the Bible. He has a book called Unlocking the Bible. And relating to the story of the Israelites stumbling around the desert for 40 years, this is what he writes. "The general problem with the people of Israel was grumbling. You need no talent to grumble. You need no brains to grumble. You need no character to grumble. You need no self-denial to set up the grumbling business. It is one of the easiest things in the world to do. Even today, grumbling probably does more damage to the people of God than any other sin." James says, like a tap with drinkable, tasty water one moment, and then salty, undrinkable water the next moment. Some people come to this church every Sunday and sing amazing worship songs like we've just sung, pray beautiful prayers, but then go to everyday life. And the first time they lose a golf ball, they curse. The first time someone pulls out of them in front of them in the traffic, they swear. First time family member makes them angry, they belittle them and verbally abuse them. Or they go over to someone's house for dinner and pass an unsavory, filthy, racist or sexual joke. God gives us our tongues not to tear people down, but to build people up. So let me help you practically today. Before you say anything, ask yourself three questions. Number one, is it true? Is it the truth that I'm speaking? Number two, will it bless God? What I'm about to say, will it bless God? And number three, would I say what I'm about to say in front of the person I'm talking about? Three simple things to test what you're saying, to test whether it's gossip, to test whether it's true. I read something incredibly fascinating, which I'm going to share with you. Scientists now tell us that once a sound wave is set in motion, it never ends. It is not like a wave of the ocean, which hits the shore and stops. Once any sound is ever made, the wave created goes on a never-ending journey. If ever we come up with the technological instruments, every sound wave could be recaptured and reproduced at any given time. Scientists actually believe that if we develop this technology, that we could actually hear every word ever spoken. That is, every word spoken by any person, alive or dead, in any time of history on planet Earth. Let me ask you this. Would you watch your words more carefully if they could be recorded and played back at any time? Well, the truth of the matter is this is already done. Every single word that has ever been spoken from the beginning of time, every word that is currently being spoken, every word that ever will be said until the earth is over, has been recorded by the God who created the tongue that said those words. Because Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that they have spoken. For by your words you have been acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." My brothers and sisters, words are powerful. Words are very powerful. They are the most powerful weapon known to man. James tells us that real faith uses our words to bless God and lift up other people. Now, this is what the Lord downloaded while I was singing today. There's two of this most powerful, powerful weapon that we have. There's two particular words that have more power than all the rest. And I'm going to share this testimony with you. I know I've shared it with some of you before, but you're going to have to bear with me, because I know there's a lot of people who haven't heard this testimony, and it ties it together. Bless my brother, an amazing, amazing human being, struggled for a long time with drugs, 18 years. Praise God, he's been drug-free for 4 months now. And he's in care, the right care. And I've never heard him actually say out of his own mouth that he's finished with drugs. My whole life I've always heard him, "Oh, I'm not quite finished." But he's saying it. He's saying the right words with his mouth now. And I believe because those words are coming out of his own mouth, that this is the time his life will change. Anyway, it's been a long, rocky road, as I say, some 18 years with my brother. And a couple of years back, we were living in Gordon's Bay, one apartment above the other. I was in the apartment above him. And I was actually fasting because I was about to go to the Mighty Men's Conference, and I was believing the Lord for a whole lot of things. And I just wanted to get close to God. So anyway, I'm fasting, and I don't know, I get this strange sense to go and check on my brother. And so I go and I knock on his door, and there's no answer. So I ring the doorbell, and there's no answer. So I go downstairs, and in the basement is his car. So I know he's around, because if he wasn't around, his car wouldn't be there. So I go back up, and there's like a tiny bathroom window on the one side. So I climb up, and I stick my head out, and I start shouting, "Tony, Tony, Tony, are you okay? Come to the door." So eventually I hear some shuffling after much screaming, and my brother comes to the door. He opens the door. There's just like all the curtains are closed, so it's all dark inside, and there's just this haze of smoke, and there's this horrific music being played. And I said to him, "Can I come in?" So he said, "Yes." So I go in, and there's the lyrics that are being played over this music. I don't remember them all, but basically it was like, "Bow down to the Prince of Darkness." Now, I mean, you don't need to be a prophet or someone of discernment to know where this music was coming from. But there, anyway, so I actually turned the music down and I said, "I just want to chat to you." I didn't really know why I was there. And so we started chatting, and on the coffee table in front of me was like a book. And again, I got prompted, pick up the book. So I picked up the book, and underneath was ashtray. And then the ashtray was a light bulb. And for those of you who are innocent in the world of drugs, often people will smoke drugs through a light bulb. There's a kind of way you do it. And I recognized it because I'm not the most innocent person on this planet. I haven't always been a pastor. I haven't always been saved. And as some of you know, I used to take drugs. So I knew what a light bulb looked like and I knew what it was for. So I said to my brother, I said, what's going on? So he said, it's none of your business. So I said, well, I'm your brother. It is my business. So I said, are you doing drugs again? So he says, I don't want to talk about it. So I said, well, I do want to talk about it. I said, you know what it's doing to your life. And I started to lecture him, as I always lecture him. Not that the lectures made any difference. Probably put him more against me than for me. But anyway, I felt it was my job to lecture him. Anyway, I stood up and I just started to pray. I started to pray like very softly under my breath, praying in tongues. And my brother came. He had a drug-crazed look in his eyes. He came up to me, right up to my face, like 2 centimeters across my face. And he says, your heavenly stuff will not work here. So I was like, whoa, okay. So I started praying loud in tongues. And then I turned, he said to me, just get out of here. So I turned around to leave. And as I was reaching for the front door, again, I got prompted, don't go. Don't leave now. So I turned around and I came back to the lounge, the living room. And my brother comes up again to me aggressively and I just start to pray. I'm just praying in tongues, just praying. So I can see now he wants to get violent with me. He's coming very aggressively towards you. Now, I'm the little brother. I'm the older brother, but I'm the little brother. My brother Tony's 6 foot, weighs over 100 kilos. He's a big guy, okay? I'm not that big, okay? But I serve a big God. Anyway, so remember we're talking about the two powerful words. Okay, so Tony attacks me. He comes towards me with both hands, and I just put up my arms like this to protect myself. He grabs both my arms and he pushes me back. Lucky there's a sofa behind me, and I fall back into the couch. And now I've got my brother with this snarled, violent, drug-fueled face in front of me. And I cry out, because I'm terrified. I cry out, Jesus Christ! And in that instant, as I said those two words, the two most powerful words in all creation, the two words that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess is Lord and Savior. I said two words. My brother froze like a statue. I've never seen it in my life before. I've always heard about stories of people who got mugged and shouted Jesus Christ and the muggers ran away. My brother was frozen in a grip, gripping me. I was so shocked. I could not believe my eyes. So I've got the statue standing in front of me and I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm just like, I'm like shocked. So I try to pry my hands out of my brother's grip. Because the grip was so strong, as I pried them out, it brought blood to the surface of my skin. But I think I needed that because when I walked out the door, I needed to be reminded of what happened in that room. But as I pulled the grip out, my brother's still frozen completely. I kind of moved out and stood up. And then in an instant, like nothing happened, he stood up and he went, whoa, that was fun. Let's do it again. So I said, no, my brother. This is not fun and this is not a game. But this is an example of the God that I serve. I want you to realize and acknowledge the power of Jesus Christ. I said, I'm not going to play around with you in this room. I'm going upstairs and I'm going to pray for you. And I went upstairs and I fell on my face, crying, weeping like a baby, because I could not believe what happened. I could not believe that our powerful God in heaven came to rescue me in a time where I would have been probably bludgeoned to death by my brother. The power of words. Two words. Jesus Christ. Can I ask you to stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your head as well. Father, you have given us this incredible, incredible, powerful weapon called the tongue, Lord. A tongue which speaks words, Lord, the most important words to speak are your truth. To honor you, to praise your name, and to uplift those around us, to love and encourage, speak words of wisdom into the lives of our family and our friends and our business partners. Father, I know that there are, I spoke about two words, Lord, and I'm just going to talk about six words. There are six words, Lord, that have a powerful effect too. And Lord, I know that there's some people in this room, while I've been speaking, have thought, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to convict people right now of people that have been burned by our own tongues. Maybe a brother or a sister, maybe a business partner, maybe an uncle or an aunt, maybe a school teacher, maybe a doctor, maybe a dentist. I don't know. But I know that you know that there are people that you have burnt with your tongue along your life. Maybe yesterday, maybe last week, maybe last year, maybe last decade. I challenge you and I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll convict us, Lord, to go and say six words to these people. Those six words are, I am sorry. Please forgive me. As there's power in the name of Jesus Christ, there's power in forgiveness. There's mighty power in forgiveness. Father, I thank you that this day you've shown us, Lord, the dynamic power of the tongue. Lord, how we need to protect other people from it and use it to encourage. Lord, that we must use our tongue to praise you, bring you honor, bring you glory. Lord, we are to ask ourselves, Lord, as a practical way I brought up, Lord, if we need to know what we're saying is worthy of you, Lord, we just have to ask ourselves, is it true? Will it bless you? Will I say it in the presence of the people I'm talking about? Father, Proverbs 12:13 says to us, an evil man is trapped by sinful talk, but a righteous man escapes trouble. Lord, our mouths always get us into trouble so often. So we pray, dear God, may the words of our mouths and the thoughts of our hearts be pure and holy in your sight. Through your cleansing spirit, purify our spirit, our hearts and bodies, so that we may serve you in honor and righteousness. Strengthen us so that when we do open our mouths, the words that come out clearly reveal that you are in charge of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to be up here for ministry. I'm going to ask Abigail to continue playing. If anyone needs to forgive anyone and wants to do it in a witness, please come up. We will pray with you. If there's anything else that you need to bring before God with your words this morning, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, don't leave. Don't leave this place without coming before Him. You don't need to come up to the front of the church, but just as an act of obedience to Him, as a sign to Him, I urge you, come forward this morning. Thank you.